Glory be to God in the highest. We thank you, Lord, for such a wonderful time again. I want to say a blessed evening if you are in Europe, in the UK. A blessed afternoon to those joining us from the North of America, the Americas. Good morning, good afternoon. And to anyone watching this repeated live broadcast, if today is not the 7th of the 9th of 2023, then you are watching a recorded broadcast. And it's never late. You can like, you can share, you can invite someone. It's going to be communion tonight. And when there's communion, there is healing, because it talks about the blood of Jesus that was shed for the remission of our sins. And where there's remission of sins, there is forgiveness of sins and there is healing. So the blood, get your emblems ready. The cup with some fruit juice, blackcurrant, ribena, something that just reminds you of the blood of Jesus. And get the bread. You can get some unleavened bread, flat bread. If you can't get that, just get an emblem. Get like a cracker biscuit or something. Because tonight, we are bringing ourselves to remembrance of what God has already done. You know, there is so much power in remembrance. When we forget, we lose everything that we ought to benefit because we have forgotten. Now, let me read a scripture to us tonight. Okay, Psalm 103. There's something about God loading us daily with benefits. So Psalm 103, I will read from the New King James Version. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul," and look at this, "forget not all his benefits." Forget not all his benefits. What are these benefits? Verse 3 tells us, he forgives all our iniquities. And wait for this, he heals all our diseases. And verse 4, he redeems our lives from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. And verse 5, he satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. These are the benefits that we must remind ourselves of. There's something about the communion which we're about to take tonight. The Lord Jesus himself commanded, instructed, if we look at Luke chapter 22, verse 19 to 20. This was when the Lord Jesus himself, took communion. He did what was known as the Passover then, but that Passover passed over to what is known as communion, which we're about to do tonight. Luke 22, verse 19, the Bible said Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks. We're going to do that. And then he broke it. We will break it. He gave it to them, like we are sharing tonight. And he said, "Take, this is my body, which is given for you." Look at what he said. "Do this in remembrance of me." And verse 20, the Bible said, "Likewise, he took the cup also, and after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." The shedding of the blood leads to forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins leads to healing of all our diseases. And with looking at the word remember, we want to remind ourselves. You see, every year we dedicate, we take out time, we shut down, led by the Spirit of God. Every single year for the past 19 years, we spend the last 12 days consecrate ourselves for a solemn assembly. We have a retreat, and I'm announcing because now we are 4 months away for another year to end. So you can start preparing from now that you're going to dedicate, you're going to make sure that you prepare from the 20th of December to the 31st of December. As we cross over into a new year, you're going to spend the last 12 days of this year waiting on the Lord to hear what God will say ahead of time. That's one of the things the Holy Spirit does. He shows us what is to come. So the Holy Spirit gave us a glimpse of September 2023 last year on the ninth day of the 12-day retreat. And I was praying and I was kind of, Lord, what do you want us to do tonight? And the word remembrance came to me to share with us. Now we want to remind ourselves of what God said to us ninth day, last year, 12 days retreat, concerning the ninth month especially, but not just the ninth month, but the season we're in now. And the word we received, the theme, let God intercept, take full control of my life. The man of God who shared this, filled by the Holy Spirit, spoke prophetically, and I want us all to sit back, grab your notes. Don't say, I've heard it before. Remember, we don't receive fresh instructions when we have that attitude. Oh, don't say, I know, I've done it before. Don't assume, don't presume that you know what that word says. I've listened to it now about 5, 6 times, and it's like, I've never heard it before. So the word is coming to us fresh tonight. And I want to thank God for Reverend Israel Olumide Siawe, if he's watching with his family, because we alerted him that we will be all reminding ourselves of what God said. So Reverend Olumide, thank you for bringing this word. God bless you. God bless your family as you have been instructed on this next level of glory, which you are on. And we pray for you tonight, wherever your sons is well with you. In the name of Jesus, everything is well. And you know what? God has intercepted, and let God intercept you and take full control of your life. The message is roughly about 40 minutes. So don't go. We will come back, remind ourselves, take the communion. This is what Jesus has said ahead of time by the Spirit of God through his son and minister, Reverend Israel Olumide Isiawe. So sit back and get ready to receive afresh what God is saying. I will catch you after this message and this fresh word again. Hand over to the media.
Someone say, for whom?
For whom?
Say, for whom? Now, if you understand English, and even though it's not my first language, you know, a friend of mine would joke that he went to night school. But whether you went to night, afternoon, or day school, if you did English at any level of study, you know that when you see the word for at the start of a sentence, it is not an isolated thought. Right? There are some words which, in the words of the late, great Kenneth Hagin, he would say, for instance, when you see a therefore in scripture, stop and find out what the therefore is there for. So, for tells us that there is a train of thought that we are indebted to for the next few sentences to make sense. So let's go to verse 27. It says, now. Now that's another interesting way to start a sentence. This actually tells you we have finished a thought. It's the exact opposite. It's saying, okay, now that we've finished with that, now let's deal with this. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So again, time will fail us to look at what came before, because you should actually understand. It's a different way of saying, okay, this is like saying, having said that, Now let's focus on this. Now, you need to understand what was said before to understand the pivot, but time will fail us tonight, so let's stick with this. It says, now he who searches the heart, someone say he, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit does what? He makes intercession for the saints. Now, the question is, who is the he? That's homework. It's not as obvious as it seems. That's your homework. You need to read the verses before to understand. But it says, this he knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Because the same or different he, that's the homework I'm giving you, are the two he's the same. Don't be quick to assume. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So there is a he. Like tonight, I just want to, you know, there's a certain he that makes intercession. Somebody say intercession. Now, I'm not going to bore you with the Greek today because of time. You know me, I'm a Greek guy. But the word intercession simply means to intercede. Someone say intercede. Now, the word seed means to stop. Right? Someone say seed. Means to stop. Inter means a connection or across or between two things. So to intercede means that you stand between two ends and you act as a filter about something coming from one to the other. This is very important because the ministry of intercession is very, very misunderstood in the church. The fact that I am asking for God for something on your behalf is not by definition intercession. Does that make sense? So not every prayer you pray for another person is intercession. Intercession is part of one of the most dangerous things you can do. Because you are literally stepping into the flow of something negative and saying you will not get to that person because you have to curse go through me. So it's not something you take on lightly. It's not something you take on with a life misaligned from God. It's definitely not something you take on if you are dabbling in sin. I've seen people wreck their lives because they claim to be intercessors. This he is making. Secondly, intercession is not something you necessarily just do, according to the scripture, passively. The word make denotes an active action. In essence, it's not that you just happen to be in between the two things. No, you took a conscious step in your will to say, I will be the filter between one thing and the other. The point I'm raising is this. I said all that to say this. It means, Pastor Worama, that there are things that must be intercepted for the will of God for your life to manifest. Are you listening to me? If there must be intercession according to God's will, it means that there are realities that must be stopped, blocked, filtered, intercepted. In essence, it means the will of God is not guaranteed to be fulfilled if there is no interception. In essence, what must be intercepted for God's will for your life to be done? AY, can you help me? Let's bring this thing down. Let's talk. This is a family. No, Pastor Fola, please sit down, sir. I insist, sir, please. Hey, let's have a family meeting. Somebody say family meeting. This is a family meeting. It's not a conference, right? It's a year-end family gathering. So let's have a family meeting. I repeat, like I said, for the purpose of tonight and maybe even tomorrow, who this he is beyond the scope of my assignment. But I give you the homework to find out who the two he's are. They may be the same person. They may be two different people. That's your homework. And the answer is actually in the chapter coming up until there. But suffice to say, all I need you to know for tonight and maybe tomorrow is that God's will concerning your life is not guaranteed. Let me repeat. The will of God for your, they will be, see, I've heard people say there will be surprises in heaven. I agree. And they usually mean you meet people in heaven who you didn't think would be there, and you'll miss people there who you thought would be there. I agree. I do believe there will be plenty surprises in heaven. Pastor Fuller, one of the greatest types of surprise in heaven will be people finding out that by God's reckoning, there is an economy of realities that heaven dispatched that never made it to you. That will be the cause of some of the tears. Not all, but some. Let me give you a story. True. I grew up, well, when I say grew up, I spent my formative years, so at least all my teenage years, I spent in a city in the nation of Nigeria called Lagos. And specifically in a part of the city called Ajawo Estate. Ajawo Estate was on the route to the main international airport road. And that was where I spent I became a man there. Let's put it that way. And it's a very interesting part because it's a piece of land where there's about 200,000 residents in a very small space, and you could see on the same two roads side by side a set of mansions here and a set of not so mansions there. So it was a very interesting petri dish of life and social stratas and everything. And there, I attended a church at some point that was on a road in Ajawo Estate called Joy Assembly. What's it called now? Joy Avenue was the name of the road, Joy Avenue. And one of my best friends lived on Joy Avenue. So I was on that road for about 4 or 5 years, pretty much every day. It's not an exaggeration. It was about four of us, so a group of four best friends, and his house was the joint because his parents lived in a different city. So my friend was the captain of that house. So that was the only house in our circle of friends where there was no, you get the point. So we were teenagers within the ages of, 16, 17, 18, and 19, thereabouts. And so that was the joint. And then we were all members of, and some of us were part of youth ministers in a church that was on the same road. So every day of my life, about 3 years or so, pretty much almost every day, I was on Joy Avenue. Now, Joy Avenue is an interesting street because till today, it does not look like it. I mean, if you dug beneath the sand, you would see it. But to the naked eye, it does not look like there has ever been a lick of asphalt, mortar, or bitumen on that road. In an otherwise semi-affluent area of the estate, it is an eyesore because it should be a 30-second drive from one end to the other. It could take you 5 minutes or 10 minutes because it is a bad road. And if you know how roads are where I come from, for us to say a road is bad, it is B-A-D. It is born again, or it is not born again and delivered. Does that make sense? It is bad. Now, one day, we as young men growing up, we decided that this should not stand, and this was wrong, and how come Joy Avenue has been deprived of its joy? Why have they singled out my friend and our church's street for this cruel and unusual treatment? So we made an expedition to the local government office to inquire as a bunch of teenagers, right, why Joy Avenue had not been tarred. And to our surprise, we found out, Pastor Fuller, I moved into that estate in the year 1989. When we went to make this inquiry, it was sometime in the, it was roughly, if I'm not mistaken, about somewhere between 1998 and 2000, somewhere in that ballpark figure. And we got there, Pastor Fuller, and they told us that not only was that road tarred in 1991 or thereabouts. It had been maintained every single year since. According to the documentation, Joy Avenue received its first lick of bitumen in 1990 or 1991, and almost on an annual basis, they had sent and allocated, some of you are laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about, had allocated resources, if you grew up in the United Kingdom, this will make sense to you, had allocated resources to maintain the road. And in that moment, I understood, well, I didn't then, but when I think about that moment, this scripture makes sense to me. Somebody had interceded for the resource that was supposed to tar Joy Avenue. Are you with me?
They stood in the gap
on behalf of the land. But the point I'm making is this. It was the will of the local government to tar Joy Avenue. And they had released the allocation to tar Joy Avenue. Something had stopped it getting from head office to street. And until, well, I mean, we were a bunch of teenagers, or some of us were in our early 20s at the time. Some of my friends are a little bit older than me, but because we were quote unquote small boys, we lacked the capacity to do anything about it. And so Joy Avenue remains till today a bad road. I think they eventually came and did some work a few years later once, and then it fell into disrepair again. I'm here to say to many of us that many of our lives, families, ministries, nations, regions, cities, children, health, finances, businesses, are like Joy Avenue. Heaven has no point of reference for some of your prayers. You confuse heaven when you pray. If some of you could listen to heaven when you pray, they say, this one has come again. Let me say it in the right accent. This one has come. This one don't come, right? Anyway, this guy is here again, disturbing us about something for which we have no ability to do anything. Because heaven is not responsible for your calamity. Let's go back to the scripture. Romans 8. I told you we take our time, right? This he makes in essence, there are things that must be intercepted if God's will for your life will come to fruition. Next verse. Before we go there, let's stay there. According, listen, to the will. Someone say to the will. So the second thing I want to point out to you tonight is that, we'll continue tomorrow whenever we stop, is that God is not making up your life on the fly. You know, I've heard people say this, you know, I've heard some songs about it, say, God will never mismanage your life. That's true. And I don't think Pastor, when I look at a Christian's life, I can tell whether or not they believe or affairs, whether they believe this. Because many of you do not believe that God will not mismanage your life. And I know, because you run from pillar to post. You are like a leaf tossed in the wind. Your life's activities make it clear that as far as you are concerned, you are in charge, or you must do and fix and move everything into place. In essence, you believe that it is given unto you to direct your ways. And you did not read the Bible, because there is a scripture that says in black and white, it is not given. Someone say it is not given. It is not given unto man to direct. In essence, not that man cannot. Not that man is bad at it. It is not given. Does that make sense? So when God ceded responsibility from the divine to the human, what he left off the buffet table of man's jurisdiction is the ability to direct our own way. It was not given. Someone say given. So it was never given. It was never God's intention that a human being would be able to plan their life correctly. And I told all the people I've discipled over the years this: walking with God will cure you of OCD. If you will walk with God correctly, you will give up the insatiable need to always be in control. You know, my wife was telling me recently, Pastor, I'll tell you the testimony later. We had that testimony about the tire. It was a bigger testimony because the one that went because something happened to it. It was hiding one that had torn on the inside. We only found out about the death trap because the one that went over something. But I'll tell you the story another day. And so for 4 days we were in limbo. We couldn't get a tire fitter out. We couldn't fix some stuff. It was affecting stuff, sleep, plans over Christmas. My wife said, but okay, you seem so whatever. I said, when you walk with this God as long as I have, Pastor Fola, you just realize that I can't always be in control.
That's right.
You need to be able to sleep well, not knowing what tomorrow will hold sometimes. Can I get a witness, somebody? Yes. See, if you believe that, because I see people who are pressing into God because they believe the more of God they have, the more anointing, the more grace, the more wisdom, the more insight, the more spiritual stature they build, I can see that it is an idolatrous quest. This person isn't pursuing God to be more of God. They're pursuing God to have more of God in them so they don't need God. They want God's power, wisdom, and ability so that they can direct their ways.
Like Simon the
Sorcerer. And that's why I have learned, sir, that the higher you go with God, the more he will schedule into your reality reminders.
That's right.
Sure.
That you are a donkey.
That's right.
Yes. God will schedule reminders that no matter how much of his glory he has trusted you with, there are things he will not give you jurisdiction over. You will need to learn to be confident, not knowing and being able to control some things. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, sir, the car was parked for 4 days. We could not use it. It spoiled plans. It caused all sorts of inconvenience. And then on the final day, when God made it happen for us to be able to sort it out, after we replaced the one that we thought was the problem, and they only had one tire in that shop, the Holy Spirit said, go and find a second tire for the other side. I said, Lord, it is late. It is dark. We are going. My wife is traveling back. We have love assemblies. Blah, blah, blah. And even the Holy Spirit keeps quiet. See, if you walk with God long, you know, when he stops, when he was talking a second ago, and you said something that made him shut up, you better walk back what you said. And God went quiet on me. I said, yeah, go. So, sir, it added almost 2 hours to, no, almost 3 hours finding a second tire I didn't know I needed. When they brought the tire out to change, they showed me that it had already torn in one section on the inside of the wheel where it could not be seen except it was on a ramp. And my wife and children were going to drive 170 miles back at night on that tire. She would have been driving up and down in Yorkshire if the car had worked that week. Does that make sense? I said all that to say this. Let's go back. Oh, please, just leave the scripture there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. I said that to say this, that there is a will of God. God has an intelligent plan for your life. God doesn't figure out how things will work as he goes along. Jeremiah told us that before he was formed in his mother's womb, someone say formed. Not created, formed. Because God does things twice. God first creates, then he forms. We'll look at that tomorrow. Before he was formed or fashioned, God had already had intercourse with him. God had known him. Mm-hmm. God had interacted with him. Mm-hmm. It then becomes your responsibility not to figure out what to do with your life, but to figure out what God has done with your life. Your role is discovery, not determination. Let me put it this way. God did not bless you with a brain to figure out what to do with your life with. Your brain's job description does not include making critical decisions concerning your life. Oh, that's not mine? Okay. Let me repeat. And for those of us who are gifted with some level of intelligence, it's a difficult thing to have this great intellectual capacity and be told that it has nothing to do with the direction of your life. You know what your brain was given to you for? Among other things, to figure out the problems that arise in trying to reconcile his will for your life with what you can see. That's where God partners with your brain in resolving and reconciling the differences between his will and your experience. Oh, now to that you can bring your brain. And even then you must bring your brain as a subject, as a servant to the dealings of the Spirit. But your brain is not permitted in the equation of what to do. It is permitted in the equation of how to do what he has said to do. Mm-hmm. So there is a he whose job it is, when engaged correctly, to intercept things that are designed to push you off course with the will of God for your life. And listen to me, not all those things are bad. Intercession is not always about dealing with negative things. In fact, sometimes, many times, intercession has to deal with things that look good. Yes. And so the ritualistic approach to prayer as an emergency button to be pushed when things are going wrong is part of the reason why your life is where it is. If you only ever pray when there's a problem, you're in trouble. Because it means you would have taken many a detour from God's will in the name of something that looked good to the eye and good for food and desirable to make one wise. So there's a will of God. Let's move on. I'm almost done for tonight. We'll wrap this up tomorrow. And it then says, and we know. Someone say, we know. We know. Someone say, we know. So Paul is saying this should be common sense, but it's not for the average believer in our generation. That all things, someone say all things. So you see, before you get to this popular scripture, 28 is very popular, isn't it? If you don't understand 27, you get this wrong. So all things work together. Someone say they work together. Someone say together. Say together. So first of all, it means they don't work in isolation. All things don't work in isolation. So I hear people say things like, oh, well, you know, God will work this out for my good. Well, kind of, yes, but that's not the scripture's true intent. So the fact that somebody slapped you in town when you were evangelizing in isolation may not work for your good. Your face hurts, right? Your pride is being stung. Can God work it out? Yes, but that's not the scriptures. Scripture says all things work together. And this, see, listen to me. You're looking at a man who has learned this lesson the hard way. Hear me. Don't be fooled. I'm a little older than I look. the hard way. In Asian militaries, there was something called, and even till today, sailing under sealed orders. In the Greek, there is a word, the word for mystery. When Jesus tells his disciples, it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. It's a very pregnant statement. Because the word mystery there is the Greek word mysterion. Someone say mysterion. Now, the mysterion was an interesting concept in ancient times. Nations were constantly fighting for land, for resources, sometimes just for survival. And your military prowess would many times determine whether or not your race existed. Barbarism was such on display that in wartime, entire races could be wiped out. In essence, your enemy wasn't just satisfied with conquering you. Sometimes they wanted to commit genocide. And so war was big business. It wasn't a case of who had access to what. It was a case of who got to survive. The entire bloodlines and races that had nationalities that don't exist on earth today because of the wars of medieval times. And so when a king rose to power, the first thing he would do was secure his military. And also there were spies and treachery and treason was so rampant because if you felt like a nation was going to come and perhaps win that war anyway, it would behoove you, if you were in the king's service, to strike a deal with the other nation to sell out your nation so you could receive favorable treatment. It's similar to what Rahab did with the spies, right? She says, well, I know you're going to win anyway. And so when you come to Jericho, please don't kill me and my father's house. Let's make a deal. And so that was rampant. And so kings became reticent to share military strategy with too many people, because if you remember the story of Elisha, how the king of Syria would say, who is telling this man, the king of Israel, our military plans? He said, one of you is a spy, because every time there was an ambush for Israel and its king, he would escape. And then they told him, actually, none of us is a spy. There's a prophet in Israel. Someone say a prophet in Israel. And brother, may God raise prophets again. May God raise us again as prophets. Our modern day prophets need to stop calling credit card numbers. I digress. Amen. Because I know my credit card number. Now can I? Okay. But what I'm saying is this. So the king would divide his army into a number of factions. And there was no formula for it except one, which I'll tell you in a second, into a number of factions. And he would place each faction under the control of a general. He would then give that general a piece of the plan. So, for instance, let's assume that these were three generals. So he would tell Pastor Daniel, I want you to get to Merseyside at 7 p.m., lay out your troops in this formation, and when you hear a sound, start to shoot. That was all Pastor Daniel would get to hear. He would then tell Pastor Gary, I want you to get to Anfield at 6 o'clock, and I want you to wait there, and then when you see the enemy coming, I want you to make that sound. Does that make sense? So he had no idea what his sound would cause. He had no idea what would cause the sound. He had no idea what was in the direction he was supposed to shoot at. So in essence, each piece of the equation was useless in and of by itself. So if anybody went to the enemy and told the enemy what their piece of the plan was, the enemy would be unable to comprehend the full battle plan. Does that make sense? And so that's how wars were prosecuted. Now, there was a document Pastor Fola, with the entire plan written out in, what's the word now? Help me out. Yes, is what I'm looking at. That means how it works together. In concert, right? And that plan was only seen by the king's biological sons. And the king would divide his army into the number of biological sons he had. Which was why one of the reasons why medieval kings liked to obey Genesis' instruction to be fruitful and multiply. Because the more sons, the more male children they had, the more divisions of their army they could have. And of course, the more divisions of the plan, the safer each division was. Does that make sense? So it is a prophetic statement when it says, when Jesus is called the only. It means when you are in him, you have access. Bible says the fullness. So there's no division. Okay, but you get the point. So that document, Pastor Fola, was called the Mysterion. That's what. So when Jesus says, it is not given to them to know the Mysterion, they got it. He was saying, you're no longer just generals, you're now sons. And who are sons? They that are led. You get it now? Because no man knoweth the things of God save. He says the Mysterion is only at the liberty of the Spirit. And so if you will know the Mysterion, okay, you get the point. But this is what I'm making. Don't leave the scripture on the screen. So that statement there is pregnant. All things work together because they are all part, disparate parts of a Mysterion. None of them by themselves make sense. And like I said, I've lived long enough to know that if you pursue each thing in isolation, trying to bend it to your will, you will end up old or older and bite your fingers with regrets. Sounds a revival. In essence, you are not capable of engineering the full outcome of your life on your own. Because there are several things that are designed, take volume down, designed to work together. That if you interpret each of them in isolation, you will miss what God is doing. Why did that boy break up with you a week before your wedding? That was a piece of a puzzle that was designed work together with several. Does that make sense? That piece in itself is you. So if you will not cooperate, to when God begins to give instructions and came and you begin to argue and you begin to hear your own Holy Spirit in line with what you believe should be correct, you may just have botched some one thing that was designed to work together. Are you with me? So part of the intercessory job of this he. So the Bible says, and we know. So the knowing this comes from that intercessor's job. All things must work together. Not in isolation. So retire your brain. And if you're old enough, you know what I'm talking about. Where has your intelligence gotten you? Where has your planning gotten you? Where has your I'm not stupid now gotten you? So come and join me. First of all, I've figured out that I am stupid. I've come to the conclusion that yes, I am stupid. I am foolish. In and of myself, I'm not arrogant about it. I've created a space for myself on the foolish man's bench. Let me end here. We'll carry on tomorrow. Let me end here. We'll carry on tomorrow. But also notice that this provision doesn't apply to everybody. There are some of you in this room right now and online right now to whom this verse has nothing in common with. Because all things don't work together for everybody. There's a very specific group of people that all things work together for. Hello? Hello? Not every Christian can claim that verse. All things work together for good to those, listen, who love God. Jesus defines that in John 14. If you love me, do what? Keep my, he didn't say obey, he says keep, means treasure. David says, I esteem them more than mine. In essence, we're not talking about just whether or not you obey. Are you a person for whom the speakings of God are worth their weight in gold? Are you addicted to being, in essence, are you the kind of person who is like, Lord, speak for your servant listens, and it's a posture that gives rise to an action. You can obey without keeping, but you can't keep without obeying. And there's another criteria which we'll deal with tomorrow. There's no time today. We need to close. Those who are what? Called. If you are not called, this doesn't apply to you. And I don't mean preaching. No. The word in Greek is kaleo. It means to be invited. If you miss this and 27, 29 is irrelevant. There are a group of people who have been invited into participation with God. They have been summoned by invitation and accept that invitation to be active participants with the will of God concerning God's wider agenda. They have accepted that their lives will find meaning as a piece of a bigger whole. Does that make sense? They've said, okay God, let's do this big thing, and then where my personal affairs fit in, we'll just, you know, it is those people that can say, in essence, if something happens and you know that you are a part of that club, is that this will work together with other things. In essence, when things happen to people like that, the excitement becomes, what next? Because they realize this by itself can't be all. That kind of person is intrigued when certain things happen, because like, okay, this is the bigger will. This doesn't seem to line up with the bigger will. God must be up to, does that make sense? Yeah. If the will is to get to Manchester and we start driving towards Blackpool, the question becomes, okay, so at what point? So people like that, they, while you are pulling your hair out, they're having fun because it's entertaining to them. Okay, let's see how God balances this thing. Hey, yeah, I am you, my life. People are like, okay, this is interesting. If are you running around like a headless chicken, is actually interesting to them. Your lack of your anxiety is actually like, you know, reality TV. They're wondering, why is this person jumping up and down? Don't they know that all things are supposed to work together? And then they figure out, oh, okay, so you are not called. Hey, yeah. Let me say this in my mother's language. They'll say, Anu e shemi. And it doesn't mean I'm sorry for you. That's a bad translation. Anu e means pity for you. Shemi is, so in essence, there is pity for you is afflicting me. That's what Anu e shemi means. It means I'm afflicted with a sense because, okay, so we're just in so this thing that's happening to me that I know will, in essence, my tire burst and God used it to keep me and my family from dying. Your tire burst and it just burst for nothing. Does that make sense? You feel pity for people who are not a part of this equation, more so for people who are believers and are not a part of the equation. Stand with me, let's pray. We'll carry on from here tomorrow. You have.
Thank you, Lord. Can we all just pause for a while and meditate on what we have heard? Not what we have heard before, but what we have heard tonight. Can we just take a moment of reflection? Take a moment of reflection. Some things need to be intercepted for the will of God to be done in our lives. Some things need to be intercepted. We don't know what they are. We may not be clear on what they are. But the one who knows the end from the beginning, let him show us the things that need to be intercepted, the things that need to stop or be stopped. I don't know if we can get some background music, and let's all just pause for this tonight is not the usual. Just pause for a while and try to take it in. We're going to pray a prayer. Lord, open my eyes, open my ears of understanding to see what needs to stop so that your will be done in my life. Just take a moment. Let's just meditate before the Lord. Lay bare, open. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us. Things we have forgotten. Things you are bringing back to our remembrance. Things you have told us. A picture may come back to you. A memory may come back. It is past. Lord, we ask, communicate to every one of us at our level in a way we can all understand. Lord, communicate. Help us, Lord, to hear you. Some things need to be intercepted, man. Some things need to stop so that the will of God will be done. Some things need to be blocked, filtered. There has to be a mediation. Oh God, we ask you mediate. Mediate. Please, let's pray right now specifically. Lord, mediate. Stop. Stop me. Stop this thing, oh God. Whatever it is, I'm going in a wide way. The way is free. It's a highway. But it's leading. Leading me away from you, leading me to the path of destruction. Lord, help me. Stop. Stop, oh God. Stop me. Holy Spirit, help. Help. Open my eyes, open our eyes, open our understanding. Help us to see and know what needs to be intercepted, so that your will, your perfect will be done in our lives, O God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Please, I want us to get the communion ready, every one of us. And if you can, please, we can bring the music down. I just want to share some things we will just do shortly. You know, in the taking of the Passover, that became the communion that Jesus instituted, Jesus actually now gave a fresh instruction on how they should take it. Before, it was a lamb, they will kill the lamb, and there's a particular way they prepared it. But on this particular time where the Lord was instituting the communion, what we call the communion now, he gave a fresh instruction. So for the disciples at the time to understand, they needed to disabuse their mind, disconnect, so to speak, from what they were used to, that this was no longer a lamb. Break the bread. The bread now, from today, the fresh instruction is, it represents my body. The blood, the wine, the fruit of the vine now represents my blood. It was a fresh instruction. So tonight, Lord, we receive fresh instruction again. What are you saying? What are you bringing to our remembrance? Holy Spirit, help us right now. Now, let us bring the bread up right now. And please, if we can type this prayer, if the media team can help us type it and then display it. And the prayer is simple. Lord, open my eyes and understanding. So let me just dictate it. This is a prayer led by the Spirit. Lord, open my eyes and understanding to see and know. So I repeat, please, if you're writing also, please write, those of us watching online, before it's displayed. Lord, open my eyes and understanding to see and know what needs to be intercepted. So let me repeat the whole sentence. Lord, open my eyes and understanding to see and know what needs to be intercepted in my life for your will to be done in my life. Lord, open my eyes and understanding to see and know what needs to be intercepted so that your will be done in my life. What needs to be intercepted? What needs to be intercepted? So if we're ready and that can be displayed, and if you've written that down, please, this is a prayer, I believe, led by the Holy Spirit for us to pray specifically, even right now. The Lord, open my eyes and understanding to see and know what needs to be intercepted in my life for your will to be done. For your will to be done in my life. For your will to be done. Your perfect will to be done. If you want to qualify that, you know, we're talking about the perfect will now. The good, the acceptable, and perfect will of God to be done. So where you see the will of God, please, that's what we're talking about. For the good, acceptable, and his perfect will to be done. So right now, I want us to understand something happened in Luke 24. Without going there, I'll just give us the context of the scripture. Jesus appears to his disciples after he had risen again, but they had not seen him. But then he was talking to them. And then he asked them if they had any food. And then, you know, they ate the food. It was fish and honeycomb. And the Bible said, you know, he gave them. That's, we see this story in Luke chapter 24. You know, when you read from verse 36 downwards. So he gave them fish and some honeycomb, the Bible said. He took it and he ate it in their presence. Then he spoke to them. And after he spoke to them, the Bible said in verse 45 of Luke chapter 24, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. Luke 24, verse 45. This was after a meal. So this is just to put in context why we are praying that prayer we are led to pray. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I want us all to bring the bread out. We will eat and we will pray. Take the bread and take what represents the body of Jesus, which is the bread, and what represents the blood of Jesus, which is the fruit of the vine. So we will do it just following the order in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And then after we eat, we will pray that simple prayer. The music will come back again. We will pray simple prayer, pray it in the understanding, pray it in the spirit if you can pray. And there are some words of wisdom and knowledge which the Holy Spirit will begin to give us. So right now, in the name of Jesus, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, please let's take the bread, for I have received of the Lord that which also I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. So please take the bread. And then after he took the bread, the Bible said, when he had given thanks, please let's give thanks tonight that his will be done. Things will be intercepted and his perfect will be done. The good, acceptable. Father, I thank you because you've brought us to yourself tonight. You've brought our labors to an end. You've brought our toiling all night and catching nothing, but now ready to receive fresh instruction, your word. Father, I give thanks to you that your body was broken for all, for me, for us, for everyone. You were bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. By your stripes we were healed. Your blood was shed. And we thank you. And I thank you that as we break, the Bible says he broke it and said, please break. Just break it into two, symbolic. And said, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Why was the body broken? So that all our sins was put on that body, and that body was broken, so that every stripe that went on that body broke that body, and every breaking of the body represents my sins, my iniquities, all the sins, iniquities you ever commit. So say, take it. This is my body broken for you. So let's eat it. Say, do it in remembrance that my body has been broken for the forgiveness of yours, for all my sins was laid on that body. So let's eat it now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for stirring our remembrance. Thank you for reminding us, Lord Jesus, that every sin I will ever commit, every sin we will ever commit has been laid upon you. And by your blood, those sins now, as we drink, are forgiven, are washed away, and purged. Our consciences are purged. All unrighteousness is forgiven. Everything I have done, Lord, every sin that has intercepted your blessings from getting to me, for me experiencing the goodness and the mercies of God, is forgiven by this blood. Your blood in the name of Jesus. Verse 25, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Why did he die? so that my sins will be buried, forgiven, buried in God's sea of forgiveness. And bless the Lord, O my soul. The benefit of that is that when my sins are forgiven, all my iniquities forgiven, every disease is healed. So as we drink right now, please let's give thanks that as I drink right now, whatever iniquity I've committed is forgiven. Whatever disease is in my physical body or in my mind is healed in the name of Jesus. Please do. Let's drink. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Please, can we bring the background music right now and bring that prayer point as led by the Holy Spirit? Listen, everybody, tonight we have the Lord Jesus, our great high priest, intercepting on our behalf, interceding. We have the Holy Spirit helping our weaknesses. We don't know what to pray for, but he's giving us something to pray for. So right now, let's just pray for a minute or two. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my understanding. Help me to see and know what needs to be intercepted in my life, so that your will, your good, perfect, your good, acceptable, and perfect will be done in my life. In the name of Jesus. Lord, open my eyes. Let's pray. Everybody pray. Young, old, you can read, you can hear, just pray. Lord, what needs to be intercepted? Show me, oh. Show me. Speak to me. Communicate. Oh, the Rakitan, the Diadada, Holy Spirit. I know you will not always strive. You will not force me. I'm asking you, Lord, I'm giving you full control. Intercept. Intercept. Show me. Show me. Open my eyes to see. Give me understanding, give me the strength, give me the grace to obey what needs to be accepted, so that your will be done in my life. Marakatos koto brakata la baya kato se perada. Ribaka de poraman de kera kalabayaka. Rakatos koto brangata kalavihi siteba. Open my eyes. What needs to be intercepted? What needs to be intercepted? Lord, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in my life. What is hindering? What needs to be intercepted? What needs to stop? Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Ah, open my understanding. Lord, let me see. Nimrendo kukurabata baraba sabara sekete bele kurabada baya gada baya daba. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you for forgiving me all my sins. Thank you as I surrender to you, Lord. I'm not in control. I rest my brain. I retire my brain. I cannot determine. I can only discover. Lord, help me. Help me. I surrender. What needs to stop trying to figure it out? What needs to stop leaning on my own understanding? Oh Lord, struggling, like a drowning man. I need to let go so that you, the lifesaver, can jump in and rescue me from this storm, from drowning in this sea. I cannot swim, oh God. I've toiled all night, caught nothing. I surrender. Help me. What needs to stop? What needs to be intercepted? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Barakatu celebranda kaka karabaya sande celebranda kurabada. Thank you. Some of us might see pictures, some of us memories, some of us might be taken back to a playground incident. Things are happening, the Holy Spirit is in. Please don't ignore what is coming to you. It's not an accident. That seeming irrelevant thought that doesn't seem connected what we're saying tonight that's coming to you, do not ignore. Please do not ignore. Thank you. Some of us are getting things. Some of us are seeing things. Some of us memories are coming back. Some of us nothing. But some things will come tonight. Some things will come even after we walk long. Lord, open my eyes. Open my understanding. Help me to see. Help me to know what needs to be intercepted in my life. So that your will be done. That's our prayer tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Please let, can we just stop the music? I want to say some things received by the Spirit of God and thank God for what God is showing. We have prayed that our eyes and our understanding, we may not see things physically, but in our hearts, in our minds, things will begin to come. And I pray that we will not ignore, don't ignore the things that seem irrelevant. Now, this is what the Spirit of God is saying, that the fact, listen to this carefully, the fact that God has said somebody or something is his will for your life does not mean it will automatically come to you. Please hear this. Let me repeat by the Spirit of God. God has, the fact that God has shown you or told you that something is his perfect will for you does not mean it will automatically come. And the Holy Spirit is saying, remember Daniel. Daniel prayed. God answered the prayer. But the prince of Persia intercepted, stopped the answer from getting to him for 21 days until there was another intercession by the angel of the Lord. Listen, we have the Lord Jesus interceding. We have the Holy Spirit interceding. We have our own part to play, and that is to listen and follow instructions that God will give us. Secondly, I'm hearing, and I wrote this down so I don't forget, the fact that some people are struggling right now. You are in the will of God, especially, and let me put it this way, the way I heard it. Even if God shows you that somebody's his path is his will for you in marriage, it is not automatic that the marriage will work. Some people have married, believing it's the will of God, and the marriage might be struggling or even has collapsed. The fact that God shows you that something is his will does not automatically mean it will work. The Holy Spirit is reminding me of Adam and Eve. In spite of the fact that Adam and Eve were God's will for each other, it did not stop the devil from coming in between them. The devil intercepted the will of God for them. So that is why this prayer we have just prayed is very important. I now need to discover what needs to be intercepted. And as we have prayed tonight, God will begin to show us. In a couple of minutes, seconds, overnight, days to come, just surrender and let God show. And please, as the Holy Spirit is also saying, is written, that the Holy Spirit will not always thrive with us. The Holy Spirit will come prompt. The Holy Spirit will come to try and nudge, but the Holy Spirit will not force. The Spirit of God will lead. The Spirit of God is not going to drag. And I'm praying right now that our hearts will not be hardened to what the Spirit of God is striving with us about. The conflict, like what we heard tonight, you planned and you knew the destination is London, sorry, is Manchester. But then you find out you are going towards Blackpool and you're wondering, no, I'm meant to be going to Manchester, but why am I heading towards Blackpool? Listen, you're heading towards Blackpool is working together to lead you to Manchester. That is how the Spirit of God works at times. So I'm praying again, Lord, open our eyes and understanding so that we see what needs to be intercepted in our lives so that your will be done. And thank you tonight. And in the name of Jesus, hear this by the Spirit of God, somebody, you are healed. The reason why you're healed, because all your sins are forgiven. All, every iniquity. The root cause of that sickness, of that disease, has been uprooted tonight, has been dealt with tonight. And from this moment, you begin to amend. You begin to recover. You begin to fully recover. Amend from this very hour. Mm-hmm. This moment you're hearing this, your sins are forgiven. The root cause, whatever it was the cause of that disease, of that pain, has been uprooted, dealt with by the blood, the broken body of Jesus that took on that iniquity, and the blood of Jesus that was shed to remove and purge you of that iniquity that is responsible for the sickness and the disease. So in the name of Jesus, please declare, I am healed. From the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, I am healed. My body is healed. My soul is healed. My mind is healed. My emotions are healed. I'm hearing a broken spirit. The broken spirit right now, that broken spirit is made whole. Is made whole. 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 Receive wholeness right now and declare, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for intervening, for intercepting. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To you be all the glory, Lord. Blessed be your name forevermore. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen and amen and amen.